Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 10th day of May, 2016. I'm Fuel by Extension's Todd Gleason. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture did it again, this time with the May World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report. We'll talk about that as we make our way through this edition of the CMR. We'll also take a look at the weather forecast. That with Don Day out of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Wayne Nelson will be here from L&M Commodities to take up the marketplace in general. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to discuss the agricultural energies. It all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
We'll hear what the numbers look like on this Tuesday afternoon in Chicago. May contract for the corn at $3.78.5, up 10 and 3 quarters. July at $3.81, 12 cents higher. December $3.87 and 3 quarters, up 10 and 3 quarters. And the March corn at $3.96 and 3 quarters, up 10 and a quarter. All on their settlement prices. May beans at $10.76, 57 and a quarter higher. July at $10.84, up 57 and a half. And November at $10.67 and a half, up 51 and 3 quarters. January soybeans, 10.64 and a half, 47 and a half cents higher. Bean oil, 59 cents higher at 33.13. The bean meal at 360, 40, up $20.20. Soft red winter wheat, 44.61 and a quarter, up 4 and 3 quarters in the July contract for the harvest month. The hard red at 448 and a quarter, up 2 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished 15 cents higher at $123.45. The August at 119.87 and a half, up 30. Feeder cattle May contract $150.35, down 45. August at $150.55, down 30 cents. Lean hogs, May contract $76.70, up 60 cents for the afternoon. And June at $80.92.5, 77.5 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find all the numbers from the CME Group and also from the USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report right there on our website, the address, willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Hear what the numbers look like in Chicago for the outside markets. June crude oil at $44.76 a barrel, $1.30 higher. Ethanol futures at $1.52, up 2 4/10 of a cent. Gasoline at $1.48 6/10, that's up 4 4/10. And diesel fuel at $1.33 8/10 is 5 2/10 of a cent higher. Natural gas at $2.15 9/10, up 6/10 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 184 points higher at 17.830. And the U.S. dollar at 94.26 is up 0.145 on the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,258.30 on their low, $1,268.20 on their settlement price, up 160. Now, the outside market's also showing us what the weather forecast looked like for the day. A 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will come after 1 a.m. tonight. Mostly cloudy at a low of 58 degrees. Wednesday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. After 1 in the afternoon, mostly sunny, a high of 83. East winds at 5 to 7. Wednesday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mostly cloudy, and a low of 63 degrees. And then on Thursday, a 30% chance of showers. Before 1 in the afternoon, partly sunny with a high of 74.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. It's USDA, WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report Day. And what a report it was, more likely what a reaction in Chicago it was. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us. We'll get to the numbers from the report in just a moment, Wayne, but how did the reaction take place in Chicago? It was a big move in the beans, and it might be important to note that because I'm traveling today, you and I are talking about 45 minutes before the close of trade.
Yeah, I mean, when we got the numbers, it started ratcheting up, and it just got stronger. We sort of seemed to stop when we got close to things, backed off a little bit, and then we rallied another 10 or 15 cents. And we're sitting up, you know, as we speak now, just partway through the day, we're up 60 in the beans and 10 to 12 in the corn. So it's been quite a move today after the market got the news here today that we were cutting back on our carryout and increasing our usage for the rest of this year and for next year also.
And so it's probably most important to think about what those numbers look like. Old crop carryout for soybeans, rather than 445 last month, is now 400 million bushels. New crop carryout, this would be the first time, the first projection USDA has made for the 2016-17 crop, projected at 305 million bushels for soybeans. Is that really worth 60 cents in the marketplace during the middle of the day?
Well, we really didn't think it would be to be very honest with you, Todd. But, you know, when you got the algorithm funds in there and, you know, tremendously large volume here today, and that's what's doing it.
So what else, other numbers were important to you when you looked at them from the supply and demand figures that USDA put forward now at 305 million bushels for the ending stocks? How about the average farm price?
The average farm price, you know, as we're looking at beans, we went from last month we were $8.75 for this year, and we went to $8.88, which probably if we're going to export some more, that's very reasonable. And for next year, $9.10. And, you know, we're trading at 1070 for next year, you know, for this fall's beans. So, you know, that's a lot more than 910. And it seems like either the government's off on their figure for that or our board's having a little extra enthusiasm, Todd.
And they increased usage for the year, what, 175 million bushels, if I remember?
175 million, yes.
And how did they go about doing that? I guess they took a look at exports and said, we're going to put a number in there that's much bigger than what we have now.
Yeah, the export number, you know, we went from a 1.74 to a 1.885, you know, for next year. So, you know, we did pump that on up, and they're thinking they're also, you know, so our total use went from 3.75 to 3.92. So, you know, they upped the use. But, I mean, you know, our production was good. And we have to remember a little bit here, and that number being a little bit tighter for that carryout for there. We think that there will be some acres switched from corn to beans after all the rain we're having here. Will it be a half million, a million acres? But probably that the bean acres should go up at least half to a million acres or more.
A 60-cent jump in the market if it holds and some rain probably may very well add some bean acres, I suppose, to the farmer's bottom line. Now, should they take advantage of the prices if they're going to do that?
I think if they're going to plant more beans, that you price some beans over $10. I mean, that's why you're doing it. You're switching to beans, number one, for timeliness, but number two, because the corn-bean ratio is there. And, I mean, let's face it, even at the little local elevators here, we're 50 cents under for November beans for cash out of the field. That's $10.20 right now. $10.20, you know. Those are figures we can make money at.
And corn is moving higher as well, but is that just in sympathy with soybeans, and are they dragging it along reluctantly?
I think we're dragging it along a little bit reluctantly as we look at it. But you know, the numbers there were a little bit friendly, but nothing compared to what the beans were in comparison. We were in the ranges of all the guesses here today, Todd, but we were on the low end of what they thought the carryouts would be. But no, if beans weren't up like this, corn would probably be unchanged.
Yeah, so we have for the old crop corn now a 1.803 billion bushel carryout. That's down 59 million bushels from the previous estimate in the month of April. And new crop carryout at 2.153 billion, but we've been up here at that 2.1, 2.2 before, I think when we started the last season. So that's where we stand today. Anything that farmers need to take away from these new corn numbers?
Well, I think that basically it tells us, you know, number one, that we've got to have a lot of corn at the end of next year unless we have some real weather problems. I think that maybe in the same as we said, we would stretch the bean acres. We'll probably shrink the corn acres a little bit. So, but, you know, we're still looking, if we get close to that $4 mark in the new crop corn, that we're going to be looking at doing a little bit of selling there too.
On corn, the season's average price for old crop now a range of 350 to 370, so that puts the midpoint at 360. And then on the new crop, a bit lower than that, 305 to 365 puts the midpoint, what, at 335, I suppose. So
yeah,
that's a pretty low number.
That is a very low number, and that's why we're saying if we can get a little bit of a little bit of follow-through of chasing the beans, why we're probably going to do a little price sensitive corn.
Yeah, farmers will not be happy about that because I think they'd like to be able to get somewhere above what their crop insurance would be, but I guess you're thinking that's not really going to be all that substantial at this time.
Well, you know, at this time, we've got a lot of weather to go through. I mean, you know, the talk is, you know, warm weather for the summertime here. So we've got some weather rallies to come up in the corn market. And we've got a little more room for a weather rally there than we do probably in the beans at the prices we're at.
All right. So fundamentally, going forward, do we have other things on the marketplace that will continue to push the soybeans higher, maybe even the corn? I'm thinking of South America for both of those crops at this time.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, we're making estimates that keep going down on how much they're crop is going to be or how big their loss is going to be. And, you know, we're hearing a lot of talk about damage levels coming out of that very wet part of Argentina with the beans. We're hearing corn coming out lower in the areas with the drought expectations in Brazil. So we don't have their final yields as of yet. They might be bigger losses than what we're thinking about. And, you know, very honestly, we're wet here. It's raining here. And it's going to be into next week before we get much planning progress in Indiana, as one of the states was quite a bit behind.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. Is there anything else to add before I let you go for the day? I'm sure you're busy.
I think that just to take advantage of some of these good moves up.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. We know USDA NASS in its weekly crop progress report yesterday showed farmers around the nation had planted 64% of this year's corn crop. That's as of Sunday, the 8th day of the May. This is well ahead of the five-year rolling average of 50% complete, but 5 points behind last year. Farmers in Illinois and Iowa have led the charge over the past week. Each is nearly 80% done planting. The five-year average in both states is 56%. 27% of the corn crop has now emerged, 10 points ahead of the five-year average. The 18 reporting states tallied 23% of the soybeans in the ground. This compares to 16% on the five-year. Given the cool weather coming to the Midwest this weekend, it might be important to note that Minnesota farmers are pushing the envelope with this crop. Their five-year planting pace for soybeans is 18%. However, this year Minnesota producers have dropped 46% of the crop. 57% of the wheat crop is headed, and it remains in good condition. All told, improving 1 point in the fair, good, and excellent categories, and now standing 62% good to excellent. Now, here are statisticians from Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa with their statewide updates.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region. A dry week across much of Iowa allowed planting to progress for the week ending May 8, 2016. Statewide, there were 3.9 days suitable for field work, and that's an increase of nearly 2 full days from the previous week. Dry and sunny weather aided crop emergence when compared to last week. 80% of the corn crop has been planted, a day ahead of last year and 8 days ahead of the five-year average. Farmers in the north central and central Iowa have already planted over 90% of their corn crop. 28% of the corn crop has emerged. That's 2 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of the average. 29% of the soybean acreage has been planted. That's 5 days ahead of normal. Oats emerged reached 84%, and that's 3 days ahead of the previous year and 9 days ahead of the average. Oat condition was rated with 74% in good to excellent condition. Hay condition was rated with 73% good to excellent. Pasture condition was rated with 70% good to excellent, and that's an increase of 5 percentage points from the previous week. Livestock conditions were reported as good with very little stress. That's the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA NAS, National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Planting progress was slowed by wet conditions across most of the state. There was an average of only 2.7 days suitable for field work last week. Rainfall for the week averaged 43 one-hundredths of an inch, 6-tenths of an inch below normal. Temperatures were 1.2 degrees below normal. Topsoil moisture was rated 2% short, 72 adequate, and 26% surplus, nearly the same as 1 week ago. Subsoil moisture levels increased slightly and are now rated 4% short, 79 adequate, and 17% surplus. Corn planting advanced 12 points and is now 78% complete, compared to 83% 1 year ago and 56% for the 5 year average. 46% of corn acreage has emerged, compared to 34% last year and 27% normally. Soybean planting is now 19% finished, behind last year's 27% and a little ahead of the 5 year average of 15%. Only 1% of soybean acres have emerged, compared to 3% normally at this time. For winter wheat, 65% of acres are now heading, well ahead of last year's 29% and the 5 year average of 32%. The condition of the crop was rated a little worse than 1 week ago at 5% very poor to poor, 30% fair, and 65% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Warm and dry weather across much of Minnesota created near optimal conditions for field work during the week. There were 5.8 days rated suitable for field work. Planting proceeded rapidly with 30% of the total corn acreage, 40% of the total soybean acreage, and nearly 25% of the total spring wheat acreage planted during the week. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 3% very short, 17% short, 76% adequate, and 4% surplus. 89% of Minnesota's corn crop has been planted, that's 17 days ahead of the 5 year average, but 2 days behind last year's quick pace. 25% of the corn crop has emerged, that's a week ahead of average. 46% of the soybean crop had been planted, that's 12 days ahead of average, but 3 days behind last year. Spring wheat planting was 87% complete, that's 17 days ahead of average, but 9 days behind last year. 48% of the spring wheat crop had emerged, that's 12 days ahead of average. Sunflowers were 30% planted, that's 11 days ahead of average, but 2 days behind last year. For the USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Scattered rain showers and persistent cool temperatures continued to slow planting progress for farmers. Average temperatures ranged from 50 to 61 degrees. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.25 to 2.54 inches, with a statewide average of 0.68 inches. Corn planted was 38% complete, compared to 43% last year and 39% 5 year average. Corn emerged was 15% complete, compared to 8% last year and 15% 5 year average. Planting progress has now fallen behind last year and the 5 year average. Due to the cooler temperatures, some of the emerging corn is pale, yellowing, and growing slowly. Winter wheat jointing was at 88% this week, compared to 69% last year and 75% 5 year average. Winter wheat headed was 33% complete, compared to 12% last year and 20% 5 year average. There were some reports of hail damage on wheat fields in areas hit with the severe weather from the previous week. However, the crop remains 78% in good to excellent condition statewide. Soybeans were 11% planted this week, compared to 13% last year and 17% 5 year average. Similar to the corn progress, planting progress in soybeans is behind both last year and the five-year average. Farmers are waiting for more favorable conditions to continue planting soybeans. Other activities included spreading fertilizer, spraying burndown and pre-emergence herbicides, hauling grain, fixing tile holes, and finishing up spring tillage. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 8, 2016. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now let's talk a little bit about the agricultural energies. Once a month, Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services out of Chicago joins us to take up this discussion. Thanks, Stephen, for being with us. Crude oil has managed to break into that $40 level and be pretty stable, although I think you're looking across the planet and thinking the Saudis have something else in mind. What is your view there in Chicago?
Well, certainly I think the Saudis are showing a real change in stance in terms of their commitment, one, to OPEC, and two, to regulating supply through OPEC, particularly if they are going to be counted on as a swing producer. There was a meeting, which was a long-term strategy meeting by OPEC, which took place at the beginning of this month, and there was no agreement whatsoever that by the Saudis to regulate supply, as was indicated earlier, that they would be willing to curb output. What has happened is we've seen their oil minister actually being replaced by one who actually espouses to a new kind of policy that basically is looking to meet demand of the market by using whatever power they have in terms of their own oil resources. And I think that is significant. It does show that Iran and the Saudis will continue to remain at loggerheads as they both try to expand their production and market share. And that could certainly provide some resistance to the market overall. Certainly, we have seen some pretty strong structural changes in terms of the shale oil revolution in this country, which is certainly putting a lot of pressure on OPEC.
What do you see going forward then for the price? Will it remain stable in that $40 level?
Well, I do think we're probably reasonably priced. I would not be surprised to see the prop month trade in a range between this 35 and 45 area for a while. The back months, probably as they get toward $50 to $55, are going to find increasing resistance as you start to see some of these producers who had considered cutting back on their production actually use those prices to hedge out into the future and lock in some prices at where they could actually make money at. There has been certainly some supply concerns coming in from Canada with the wildfires in Alberta. Also, Libya has to be watched along with Nigeria. But I think those are secondary forces to the underlying current that suggests that the main producers are going to be intent upon improving and competing on markets.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Up next, we'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Shrimp Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1773, to keep the troubled East India Company solvent, the British Parliament passed the Tea Act, taxing all tea in the American colonies. In 1818, Paul Revere died, a silversmith and American Revolutionary folk hero. He also made surgical instruments and false teeth. In 1869, the first transcontinental railroad linking the eastern and western United States was completed at Promontory Summit, Utah, with the Golden Spike. The new coast-to-coast railroad reduced a journey of 4 months or more to just 1 week. In 1918, Orville Freeman was born. A one-time senator from Minnesota, he became U.S. Secretary of Agriculture from 1961 through 1969. In 1934, a massive storm sent 350 million tons of topsoil flying from the parched Great Plains as far east as New York, Boston, and Atlanta. The storm forced thousands of families to migrate to California. And in 1920, John Wesley Hyatt died, a U.S. inventor. He is regarded as a pioneer of the plastics industry. He discovered the process for making celluloid. He also had a number of other inventions, including a water purification system, a sugarcane mill, and a widely used roller bearing. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you from an extension conference today in Decatur, Illinois. We're now joined by Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the rainfall we've had. You told us that this was going to happen a couple of weeks ago. You said first 3 weeks of May. Farmers are hoping that you're wrong.
There's a little bit of good news and bad news. Let's go with the good news first, is that there will be gaps in between the rain that falls this week, but we see a series of systems. The one that's coming through now, another chance for showers and thunderstorms, will be moving through the region late tomorrow night and during the day Thursday. And that's likely going to give some pretty good coverage to the Midwest and Corn Belt. Then there's going to be a little bit of a break for Friday and Saturday. A few showers and thunderstorms will be around, but they'll be quick moving, not amounting to much. And that break will last probably through, let's say, Monday. After that time frame, we're going to get into what should be another period of wet weather, especially between Tuesday and Friday of next week. And when we add all these systems together, most of the Corn Belt Midwest is probably looking at 2 to 4 inches of liquid sunshine over a 10-day period with these systems moving through.
Good for the crop that's in the ground. Not so great if you have corn or soybeans yet to plant. How widespread? You said probably pretty widespread. And then in that third week or the week after next, are you seeing drier weather?
Well, not at the moment. It may not be until as we approach that Memorial Day weekend or the 5 to 7 days before that, before I see it getting more consistently warmer and drier. Up until then, these systems are going to be active and coming on through and keeping things more wet than dry, at least through the 25th of the month.
Are temperatures going to be okay, or do we have to worry about things getting cool?
Well, we are certainly going to be cool this weekend. The system that's going to come in Friday night and Saturday is going to drag a pretty good cold front through the Great Lakes, and temperatures relative to normal this latter half of the weekend and early next week will be a bit below normal. Between now and then, close to normal.
I'd like to hopscotch around the planet just a bit, maybe check in on the Brazilian second crop corn. That would be in Mato Grosso. And then if you have an update on what's been happening in China with the beginning of their growing season.
Let's take a look over in Eastern Asia and take a look at what's happening in China. The precipitation forecast is wet in the short term and in the longer term as well for the southern and central growing areas. Once we get into the eastern areas, northern areas of China, the precipitation is going to be about average. There's nothing that sticks out in the next week to 10 days in China other than what looks to be some pretty normal spring patterns, with the southwest parts of the country the most wet, other areas close to normal.
Hey, thanks so much, Don. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.